Hey, are you back?
Yeah, hold on one second, Dad. I'll count it off. Hi, Angels. How are you guys? And I have my dad, Gene Abbott, on the phone with me tonight. We just started doing the show on Thursday night at 7. He is eventually going to do his own show on Angel Coaches Network. But he's a writer, an entrepreneur, a good, godly man. How about that, Dad? You got the GGMM, good, godly man. And taught me about the love of God at a very young age. And so I appreciate him so very much. And he's one of my best teachers and mentors. And he's going to share with us clear communication with God and the gentleman, Abraham, that he spoke about last week. And how he Abraham's going to have a baby, a new son, with a postmenopausal woman who's his wife. How cool is that? So, Dad, I probably didn't say it like I should, but I know that a lot of people can be listening in. So tell us, share with us, because this is part two of a great story. So, and when you listen, you get miracles, I think, right? So
that's it.
Welcome to the show.
Well, anyway, I appreciate the fact that I can share this. I'm writing the Bible in secular terms, just as I see it. And it doesn't go against the Bible at all, but it's about what I share in the Bible. Abraham was a unique individual in the sense that he was called by God to come to an ungodly country, a strange country. He had no relatives, nothing. And you know, he got up and left. He took out everything he had, took his nephew Lot. The next thing you know, he's out walking, and he wound up, he's living in the Ur of Chaldees, which is right below Babylon. There's a circumference there that you can trace, and it's called the Fertile Crescent. And Abraham, with his wife, Sarah, Lot, and what sheep he had and herds he had, he came out there, and he came trusting God. I wonder how many of us would do that just without any reservations at all, without any relatives, without any help. We trust God to do that. Well, anyway, Abraham did it. And what I'm talking about that is, if you have any questions at all, I'm sure you'll contact T, and she'll get with me or whatever. I don't know how y'all work this out, but anyway, I'd be happy to answer any questions you had. But Abraham was on the side of the hill. He's already in the land that he was given to him. And angel of the Lord appeared before him. And by the way, the angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ. That's my opinion. I'll share yours if you like, but anyway, that's my opinion. And he said, Abraham, I'm El Shaddai, God Almighty, serve me perfectly. And Abraham fell on his face. He was scared to death. Well, I would be too. God said, behold, my covenant is with you. No longer shall your name be Abram, but you're Abraham. For I made you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will likewise attest to my covenant with your descendants after you, an everlasting covenant. I give you and your descendants all the land of Canaan, an everlasting possession. You, Abraham, and every male among you shall be circumcised, the flesh of your foreskin. You might want to know what the heck that is, why he did it that way. I have no idea, but I'll be happy to discuss it with you. This should be a sign of the covenant between me and you. As for your wife, Sarah, I will bless her. I will give you a son by her, and the kings and the people shall come from Sarah. Abraham's, whoa, wait a minute. Shall Sarah bear my child? Oh, the Ishmael may live in the sight of you, O Lord. Ishmael was Hagar's son that was given to him by Sarah. God said, no. No, absolutely not. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant. When he had finished speaking these things, God went from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all his slaves, and every male in the household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. Mamre, where Abraham was encamped, was on the ground high enough to cool in the evening, and during the summer day, the heat of the sun would make it intolerable. It was Abraham's habit then to raise his three sides of his tent. and the poles in the east, and the shade all around the rooms, and allowed a dry wind to blow through it. He would rest in the afternoon, leaning against a straw mat that would be a roll for his back. By now, he was 99 years old.
Wow.
It was not a tent as you described. You got to realize it was a rectangular tent. It had a partition down the middle, made out of skins. And he lived on one side of the partition, and Sarah, his wife, lived on the other side. By now, the man was 99 years old. He spent the hottest hours of the day dozing. But sometimes his old eye would roll open, and he'd watch the oak trees floating in the heat wave. Sometimes his eye would close, and he would scream something. He'd reach for a water skin, sweating and cooling in the wind. And so it happened one afternoon. Opening his lazy eye, Abraham saw the mountain, not trees, but people standing in front. And it just amazed him. It's strangers. Abraham jumped up and bowed down to the ground and said, "Stay a while, rest a while." He really wanted to see this. He really wanted to meet some strangers. Of course, there's nobody to talk to. Strangers may also be guests. Therefore, Abraham said, "Sir, let a little water be brought to wash your feet," which is custom at that time, "and I fetch some food for you," which is a custom. The men said, "Thank you. Do as you have said." Do angels eat? Apparently they go eat now. So Abraham went around the Sarah side of the tent and asked her to make flat cakes of barley meal, and he himself ran to the herds and selected a tender calf of cooking. And they had a rousing barbecue there in a little while. Finally, he returned to his guests and speared the goat skins underneath the oak tree and laid out the cakes and the meal and the curds and the milk and a generous meal, and they ate. When they finished, they said, "Where is your wife? Where is Sarah? How can these strangers know her? She's in the tent," he said. One of the men dipped his finger in the water and washed them. Then he leaned against the oak and he said, "When I return this way in the spring, your wife shall have a son, suckling son." Abraham felt the hairs on his neck begin to tingle, and suddenly this was not a mere dinner conversation. He felt intimate and dangerous. He was about to respond when the stranger turned toward the tent and called out, "Sarah, Sarah, why in the world did you laugh when I said that?" A tiny voice inside the dark interior said, "I didn't laugh." "Yes, you did. When I said you would bear a son, you laughed in your heart and mumbled. So, look, shall old age have pleasure anymore? A woman?" said the stranger. "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Abraham gaped. His heart began to race wildly. His mind could not scarcely keep pace with the events. "The Lord," the fellow had said, "is anything too hard for the Lord?" Well, obviously not. Once more, louder and now, but hidden still behind the reed screen, the tent, Sarah said, "I didn't laugh." The three men were rising and prepared to leave. "You did. You know," the glorious one said. "You laughed." And then they left. They set out on a long road that descended to the city of Sodom. For more reasons than could be contemplated, Abraham followed. It was a hospitable thing to do, cutting one's guests along the way, but Abraham may recognize in one figure something grander than a guest, because it's angel of the Lord. By the cold of his bones, he suspected that holiness was here. Therefore, Abraham followed speechless, yet incapable of turning around and going home. As dusk darkened the earth, two of the strangers continued down the road alone. The exalted one, our angel of the Lord, paused, and Abraham stopped too. Spoke in terms of transcendent powerful. It was indeed the Lord who said to Saul, Abraham, "The outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah is great. Their sin is grave. I want to judge them, for the accusations are accurate. That is why I'm passing this way. That is why I'm here now." Abraham ran southwest to the cities of the valley below. Citizens would love for lighting their night fires, 100 tiny fires. They look like fresh on the earth. Lot lived there. Abraham closed his eyes and set his jaw. He thought he could should consider this carefully his next action. But he could not. He couldn't think of all he acted. He said, "Will you destroy the wicked?" Holy figure did not respond. Abraham wiped his mouth and spoke again. "Suppose there are 50 righteous in the city. Will you spare 50? Surely the judge of the earth should not slay the righteous people because of the weakness of others." The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in Sodom, for their sake I will spare the city." Abraham bowed his head and shut his eyes and took a deep breath and said, "I know I am but dust and ashes, but I started to speak and I must finish." He raised his face. "What if there be 5 less than 50? Would you destroy it for the lack of 5? The Lord says, "For 45, I'll spare all." "Ah, Lord, suppose there are only 40. He's willing to negotiate. "For 40, I'll not destroy the city. 30? If I find 30, I will hold the punishment. What if there are only 20? And for 20, I will spare Sodom." Abraham discovered that he was breathless and trembling and sweating. But he was not yet finished. "Oh, let not the Lord be angry with me," he said. "I speak but once more, for suppose, O Lord, there be only 10 righteous people in the city. What then?" The Lord said, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." The angel of the Lord went his way, but Abraham held ground where the dreadful conversation had taken place. He stared down towards Sodom and Gomorrah, watching over his nephew Lot, watching. Later that same evening, the two travelers, angels, arrived in Sodom. Lot, who was as hospitable as his uncle Abraham, invited them in, and he fed them and gave them a bout to sleep. But soon the men of the city surrounded us better. "Bring out your visitors. We must lie with them." I mean, no one made love to them. Lot stepped outside the door. "And I beg you, brothers," he said, "don't do so wickedly. These men are my guests, but I have 2 daughters," hard to believe what he said, "who are still virgins." The men of Sodom roared and thundered, "Get out of my way, neighbor Hebrew." They rushed forward him to break the door down. But Lamedah, the guest angels of the Lord, snatched Lot in and shut the door. By mystery, stuck the entire company of men outside blind. "This is a sin of the city. It's so grievous that the Lord has sent us to destroy it. If there be any people here that you love, go in there and warn them." In fact, Lot's daughters were betrothed to men whom he respected. He ran to tell them of the Lord's decision, but they laughed outright and in news and the scorn of his decision. He made it by escaping. Lot was grieved by the prospect of their destruction. By dawn, then, the angels actually had to drag him, his wife, and his daughters from their house. They drove them through the city gate and run for your life. "Don't look back. Don't stop. Don't stop in the valley. Run to the hills, or you will be consumed." And they started out. In the morning, high on a hill, watches fire and pitch, smoke and brimstone rain down upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham saw the heavenly licked the valley black, consuming everything. When the smoke finally covered, went up from Sodom like the smoke of the furnace, the man sat down and cut his face and wept. Not even 10. No, not even 10 righteous people they could find. "Where are you now, Lot? Where are your daughters? Where's your wife?" Lot and his daughters were safe in caves. But while they were fleeing, the wife had stopped for the last glimpse of the city, and that instant had turned into a pillar of salt. The angels had prophesied to Lot that if they stopped and looked back, they would become salt. She had to take a look back at Talheim and see what was on sale. So they left. Then Lot was in a cave with his 2 daughters. And after a while, they rationalize it and says, you know, we're here, no children, only our father. And they did a disastrous thing. They got him drunk over a period of time and made love to him, each one of them, and each one of them conceived after a time. And those tribes today are still active in fighting Israel. And they will be there until the Lord comes back. Soon after the destruction of Sodom, Abram struck camp and traveled south toward Negev. Now, Jeriah, he found new pastures for his flocks, and so he stayed. In the fall, he and his men sheared the sheep. A day-long bawling from the terrified creatures, while the women washed the fleece and cleaned the dirts and oil, they combed the hair and woof and packed in bales. And during the winter, Abram's household transported to the city of Jeriah and bartered for the articles of copper, buns, tools, weapons, utensils, and pottery. And perhaps something pretty for one's wife if she would have to have a baby. In the spring, the sheep dropped the new lambs, and then the Lord kept his promise on Sarah. In the small, cool hours of morning, Sarah bore Abraham a boy. The midwife brought their infant outside, a wiry and watchful eye, and Abraham could not speak. Abraham took the baby and gazed upon his skin as flesh of petals, but he could not utter a word. 8 days later, Abraham circumcised his son with a sharp knife. They made great feasts, gathering together the whole household to eat and drink and celebrate with him. And before the day was over, Sarah's joy grew too great to be constrained. The woman laughed. She covered her face and laughed and sounded loud. And so the entire country fell into silent, thinking she was crying. But then she rose and comforted her and sang, God has made me a laugh at that laughter for me. Oh, laugh with me. Everyone. Sisters, where is your faith? Who guessed yesterday that Sarah would suckle a child today? Yeah, I've borne my husband an heir in his old age. And Abraham said, watching his wife. Now he went to her and took her hand in his own and held it and stood still and returned his gaze. She was small and wiry beneath the blue firmament on the sky. And then Abraham took Sarah's hand in a cluster of tenderness and tone. One by one, he touched the brown spots on the back of her head. And the woman, more precious than rubies, he murmured, we will name the child for laughter, and we'll call him Isaac. She was 90 years old, and he was 100. After the birth of Ishmael, Abraham had given Hagar her own tent, which to try and raise the boy. But in the private, he watched Ishmael grow into youth and nearly an animal independent of an independent dark intrinsic. Though he never spoke, the thought of it aloud pleased Abraham to see the lad's spirit emerge both free and eager. On the other hand, it troubled him that the same spirit was wearing Hagar down. Her body was raw bone still, but her heart was tired and her mind uncertain. It was just after dusk when Isaac had been weaned and Sarah's breast was flat again, forever dry, that she came to Abraham among the flocks. Cast her out, she cried and approached him. Cast out that slave and her son. Abraham turned to face his wife. She didn't wait for a response, but she kept talking and coming at once. I saw that Egyptian wild whelp playing with little Isaac. There was absolutely no reverence there. None. I saw the future, Abraham, and I won't have it. The son of that slave woman shall not be heir to my son Isaac. Abraham said, he is my son too. Sarah stood dead still, staring at Abraham. Wind tugged her colorless hair. Her voice, when she spoke again, took on a husky quality. She uttered the words with individual cry, individual softness and care. Which of these sons, she said, did the Lord God promise? And what did the Lord give you? Abraham thought. He rose early the next morning, carried bread and water down to Sarah's Hagar's tent. And he spoke a word to her, and he put on a put the perfume of visions on their shoulders and sent her away. So Hagar and Ishmael was wandering in the world. But you got to understand that God took care of both of them, because he promised that he would. Isaac grew into a comely youth, a son with genuine respect and obedience. The blessings of his father, Abraham gave his heart and put it into the boy. There were days he would take Isaac with him on a high promontory and show him around not only the tents and the servants and the flocks. He said, "When I die," Abraham said, "give you the tents, and I got my son, but God will give you the land." Abraham loved his son so deeply that he was like life inside himself, his own bones. But then God said, "Abraham?" The man said, "Here I am." God said, "Take your son Isaac to a mountain on Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering to me." Hey, folks, you got to realize that during that time of history, that people burned their children as a memorial, as a burnt offering. So that was not an unusual request. But, you know, realize that Isaac was his only son. In the evening, carried a straw mat to a private place and unrolled it on the hill. And all night he lay gazing at the stars. Early the next morning, he returned to his tents and cut the wood and saddled a donkey. And he asked two servants to come to him on the mill, cutting him to about where he cutting him to make them a wooden. Let me get my gourd straight. He saddled donkeys. He has two servants accompanying him on a journey he was about to make. When he entered Sarah's tent, touched his son to wake him, "Come, I'm to serve your mother." So he left in camel. They traveled 3 days. On the third day, the man lifted his eyes and saw the place of sacrifice afar off. He said to his servants, "Wait here. The boy and I will go ahead." Abraham took the wood and laid it on the back of his son, and his left hand bore the fire and the right his knife. As they walked together toward Moriah, Isaac said, "Father, we have the fire and the wood for our sacrifices, but where is the lamb?" "Ah, the lamb. God will provide." And they continued forward, climbing the side of Moriah together. When they came to the place, Abraham bent down, built an altar, laid the wood on the altar. Then he bound Isaac, his son, and lifted him up and laid him down on the altar upon the wood. You wonder why Isaac wasn't screaming and hollering, but they had discipline at that time. More than we can imagine today, but there he lay. So Abraham bound his robe to his waist, and nothing came loosely. And with his left hand, he touched the boy at the breastbone. With his right hand, he picked up the long copper knife and raised it very high in order to kill the boy with a single thrust. "Abraham, Abraham!" was the Lord God calling. "Abraham!" "Here I am," the old man cried. God said, "Enough, don't hurt the boy. I know now that your fear of God, since you did not withhold your own one and only son from me." Abraham lifted his eyes and saw a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. So he went and took the ram and offered it up on a burnt offering instead of his son. And he called the name of the place, "That God shall provide, El Shaddai." And the Lord said, "I will indeed bless you. I will multiply your descendants as the stars in heaven. And let them, all nations of the earth, be blessed and have, for you have obeyed my voice." After these things, Sarah lived 127 years. Abraham was again abiding in Oaks of Mamre. It was there that the wife died, 127 years old. Before he spoke a word to anyone, Abraham sat beside her bed, mourning and weeping. He held her hand until it grew cold and laid it on the tiny frame. At noon he arose and went forth and found a place to find a place to bury his dead. There was a field in Machpelah, east of Mamre, owned by a man named Ephraim, of which there was a cave. Abraham bartered with Ephraim until he agreed to sell the field. And the price of the field was 400 shekels of silver in the presence of many witnesses. The payment he weighed out, and he made it buy. And so the field belonged to Abraham, and carried his wife to his small property, brought her into the cave, and buried her. Abraham lived to be 175 years old. He married again and had more children by different wives. At 175, Abraham died, and Isaac brought his body into the tent where Sarah was buried, and there Abraham and Sarah was laid together in death. By faith, Abraham obeyed God, and by faith, he's the father of many nations. And by faith, he was given the Hebrews power. And by faith, counted for him for righteousness. Abraham surely was a man of God, and he was blessed by God. That's all I got, folks.
Well, that was wonderful. So let me ask you a question. You said the fear of God. The fear of God, he raised his knife to plunge it into his son. Wouldn't that be the love of God, because he trusted that God was going to take care of him and take care of the situation, and it's going to work out okay?
A lot of theologians that say this, but I'm not a theologian, so you know, I can say it loosely. Abraham knew that Isaac was going to be the father of many nations, and he also knew that if he killed him, he could bring him back alive.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And that's how he lived. But, you know, that's not in the Bible. That's a genism. But by faith, Abraham knew that. By faith, Abraham knew that God would bring him back.
Okay.
I love the Lord.
I got another question.
I love people. I love the Lord. And I love people. But anybody got any questions, text Terry, and I'll answer them for you.
Well, you can, you guys, hit me up on Facebook. You can, you know, the Angel Coaches Facebook page, or you can text me at Terry. See, my dad always calls me Terry or T, but I prefer Terry. So anyway, 954-636-9401. Text me there, or you can email me at Terry@angelcoaches.org. So one more question for you. You said Jesus Christ is called the angel of the Lord, right? Angel of the Lord. That's the angel that you believe in, correct? So in the time that Abraham was before Christ in the Bible was born, so are you saying that was Jesus that was one of the angels? Is that what you're saying? Was the angel there that shut the door and said, "Lot, get inside," and made the folks on the outside trying to get his daughters and the angels blind? Is that what you believe, Dad?
No, you got to remember now that there were three angels that appeared before Abraham. Three of them went down the road.
Okay.
One of them appeared to be more exalted than the others. That's the angel of the Lord. He stopped and talked to Abraham. The other two went on to Sodom and Gomorrah. Only two went to Sodom and Gomorrah. The third angel, which is the angel of the Lord, went back to heaven.
Is that Jesus?
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to leave that alone. Okay, you think it's that your interpretation was of Jesus? That's what I wanted to clarify. Okay. Interesting. All right, you guys. So he's this is my dad, and he's putting the Bible in secular terms. Great thing there. So you know, he's here on Thursday night at this time at 7 p.m. And you guys tune in, and a little while later, Victoria's doing a show as well at 8. Hit me up if you have a question about what he's talking about, writing about. And you guys have a great now. We will see you next Thursday at 7. Bye, everybody.
See ya.